Praise be to God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Passage today comes from our first reading, the one in Acts chapter 4. And starting in verse 32, it said, "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who had owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need." It almost sounds fictitious, like a Hallmark movie. You can picture the rainbows and the butterflies, but you know that once the credits roll, it's all over. And that world just disappears and the real world comes back. But on the other hand, you know that Scripture is inerrant. And so it has to be true. Something happened. Something happened that caused them to transform how they lived in a community with each other. Something caused them to live radically. What was it? Now, before we go on, just a couple of words of caution. This passage is not prescriptive. You don't have to sell your house and sell your land if you want to be called a Christian. This is simply a glimpse into what their experience looked like in their community of believers. And we are called to extrapolate that glimpse and apply it to our own lives. And it may look different. So what might it look like? That question really is a very hard one to answer. Because our head tells us that we should want to live a life radically for Jesus. But our heart, it tells us that maybe we can't live that radically. Maybe there's a sub-radical or a semi-radical way of living, a lifestyle maybe that we could adopt. My goal though this morning is simply to impress upon you this reality. When you realize, when you understand that your identity is anchored in the resurrected Christ, you understand that your life has been completely transformed. The very root of who you are, the very foundation of your identity has been changed. And because you have been completely transformed, you can't help but live a radical lifestyle. And I use the word radical because it means foundational, the fundamental nature of something, which is different than how we use it today. And that something, of course, is you. It's me. We are changed so completely, so deeply. The very core of us is transformed. And it happens when we encounter the risen Christ. Then there's no going back to our old way of living. Our new way of living becomes a way of living as adopted children of God. And you see, John describes this in the passage, the second reading that we read this morning. And I just want to read a couple of verses starting in the first. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that we also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we write this to make our joy complete. You see, they knew who Jesus was, and they knew that Jesus died and rose again. And they knew that He did it all for them. But that knowledge itself, it wasn't enough to make that connection from the head to the heart. Their knowledge wasn't enough to transform them into anything. They needed something more. They needed Jesus Himself. And not just the knowledge of Jesus, not just a friendship or a relationship with Him. They needed something even more than that. And they found it. They found it in the resurrection. Not the knowledge of the resurrection, not the belief of His resurrection. Not at all. They found it in His actual resurrection. You see, when Jesus gave His life on the cross, when He became sin, our sin, He received their punishment, and He received our punishment. And when God raised Jesus from the grave, He declared that full satisfaction had been made for their sins and for our sins as well. You see, death had been defeated. And since death had been defeated, the disciples had hope. They had hope in their own resurrection. They had hope in their own eternal life. This was the connection between knowledge of their head and the hope of eternal life that was now in their heart. You see, Jesus connected them to Him when He rose from the grave. And it was with this connection, this intimate fellowship with Jesus, that they could enjoy fellowship with the Father. And when they had fellowship with Jesus and the Father, they couldn't help themselves. They couldn't stop themselves from extending this fellowship to the world around them. It's what made their joy complete. And who could blame them? Their identity was anchored in the resurrected Christ. Their identity was found in Him. They had become adopted children of God. How could they not express their joy in some way? And how could they not share that joy with others? You see, they had no choice but to live a radical life that reflected this foundational, this fundamental transformation. And that brings us back to our passage in Acts. See, they were living in a way that reflected how Jesus had radically, fundamentally transformed their lives, both present and eternal. They were no longer focused on the things of the world. Their focus had shifted to bringing Jesus' message of hope, His message of salvation to anyone and everyone who would listen. And it seems that from this passage, those who would listen were the same those that Jesus had reached out to. Those who were crushed by sin. Those who were cast out of society. Those who were hungry. Those who were poor. See, these were the people that were in fellowship with Him. They were the people that were hungry to hear this message of hope. But they were also the people that had very worldly needs. They were hungry. They were homeless. And they were sick. And so the community did what the community wanted, needed, couldn't help but do. They met these physical needs, not just so that they could meet these physical needs, but so that they could be open now to hearing how Jesus could meet their spiritual needs. See, radical living, it's not about giving your time and your treasures for the sake of giving your time and your treasures. It's not about setting a goal, for example, of tithing 10% so that you can go to sleep at night knowing that you tithe 10%. See, the early church wasn't giving their homes and land and food and money so that they could be called good Christians. Radical living is not about any of that. What it is about is being transformed. What it is about is being changed because of what Christ has done for you. And because you are transformed, it's about sharing that transformation with others. What it is about is bringing the message of Jesus to the world. It's about sharing that same hope that you have with others. It's about bringing people into a relationship with Christ. And hear this. It's about doing everything you can to remove every single obstacle that might keep a person's ears closed from hearing that message. Are they hungry? Feed them. But then tell them about Jesus. Are they homeless? Give them shelter, your home if you have to. But then tell them about Jesus. That is why it's so important to give to a church. Because the church meets the real needs of people, the immediate needs of people. It feeds them, it clothes them, it visits them. But then, after it meets those needs, it tells them about Jesus. That is what radical living is all about. And that is the radical living that the early church was experiencing. And it's what we are called to participate in our own way. We're called to bring the message of Christ to the world and to remove any obstacle that might be in that person's way. And so I end with a very simple question. Are you living? Am I living this radical lifestyle? Please pray with me. Lord, the early church lived out their radical transformation through selfless giving and serving. We read this passage and we use it as a measure of our own generosity, but you remind us today that it is not in what we give or how we serve, but it is in who we serve and why we serve. We serve you, the one who gave us hope for eternal life. You have transformed us, and we are a new creation. Continue to remind us of this and motivate us to reflect this reality out in the world around us. In your name we pray. Amen.